So I'm going to be talking about the help of the Holy Spirit for us. Father, we just praise you and thank you. We know, Lord, that you want to guide us. You want us to grow. You want us to come closer to you. You want us to transform us, Lord, with your word. And so we just open our hearts to receive, to hear from you, and to be guided in our life, in our thinking, in everything, so that we can please you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, it started when yesterday I was praying and trying to get direction from the Lord. And he brought to me a scripture from Psalm 11, verse 3. It says, if the foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And this is a wonderful psalm. Very short. Okay, people get lost in long stuff. When there are too many ideas to put together. And Psalm 11 is just seven verses. Okay, and the verse 3 is there what I was getting. Okay, and really what he was showing me, was trying to get across to me, is that the foundations on which we base our belief system in our experience with the Lord, okay, today are not very good because there is so much confusion about teaching going all over the place instead of really preaching the gospel. You know, generally what is preached is something that sounds more like the American dream. And that's really different from what was preached at the beginning. But people like to hear that because that's what they want. And preachers preach that message because they want a following instead of preaching the truth. And the consequence of that is that after, okay, there are consequences. When we build a foundation that is not accurate, that is not properly put, that is not, you know, that has cracks in it, and we build a house on top of it, what happens? That often it becomes very difficult to fix it because the whole house on top of it, and when you start working on the foundation, everything comes down. And so we have to understand, okay, that sometimes things are difficult because of the things that we have been exposed, the things that we have heard. You know, I suggest you may go on Psalm 11, you know, and read it and meditate on it. Because it talks about some stuff that just generally people don't talk about. Okay, the way God is, and the way God works is very interesting. Okay, he started with the scripture, but then actually, you know, I found out all the other stuff that he was trying to get across to me. Okay, what happened after is that people go according to the direction they was taking before, that is not the direction of the Holy Spirit. And what they end up doing is they end up rejecting what the Holy Spirit is saying because it doesn't fit to what they learn. And so because it doesn't fit with what they learn, they block actually the Holy Spirit to do the work that he's trying to do on them. Hallelujah. So it becomes really, you know, fixing the house becomes a really difficult thing because the house is not based on solid rock that can be changed, that, you know, is based on sand, and the whole thing comes apart. And that's why people backslide and get off a tangent, because they don't have the expectations that the Lord would put on them. They have other expectations and don't match. So we have to understand, okay, the way he works. The way he works, you know, we've been talking about it. We have been talking about, you know, the renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind involves changing things within ourselves. But when the things that we need to change are really basic, on which we have all the house built, it's very difficult to do it. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so it becomes difficult. And so, you know, we end up responding the wrong way. We end up resisting the Holy Spirit. Okay. You know, the implication there, you know, Romans 12:1-2, you know, has all the thing, but, you know, it doesn't describe all the things that need to be taking place. You know, it's summarizing, you know, any. There are other scriptures that we had to get to be able to connect with what God wants to do and how he's going to do it. Okay. Basically, I've been showing you last week that, you know, the mind that news that the word talks about there involves more than one thing. It involves about the way we think, the way we feel, our emotions, and the way we want, what we want, our desire, our will. Okay. All those things have to be aligned with God's ways, thoughts, word. Okay. But sometimes it's difficult to do that because we have ideas already in which we think that are valid ideas. It's very difficult to do something that many people preach and you believe it. Okay. You know, how many people preach about dying to self today? If you can find any. Why? Because people don't like to hear it. Why? Because it doesn't fit the American dream. And if that's the thing that you are expected and you are prepared to get to, well, then you're going to resist it. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, thinking that that's not true, that doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good because it's not what you have been trained to do. Okay, you know, that involves to be able to do, to allow that process God wants to do, that process of transformation, not conforming to the world, but be transformed by the world, the word of God, God's word. Okay, that involves being open to the changes that need to be taking place. And if you are not open, you are going to resist what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. And you're going to distort the scripture to fit your theory. And that's what happens all the time. See, if you have no agenda, you're going to get the right interpretation of scripture. But the very moment in which you have already said certain things, you are going to take the scripture and make it fit to what you are saying and deceiving yourself. And that is not just something recent. It happened all in all the centuries. Because it's the natural man that responds the way that he likes. Okay? And we have to learn to understand that process and allow God to actually help us. See, that's why in the Old Testament, people did not have the Holy Spirit. Okay? And very few people understood things. And when God had to speak to them, he had to speak to them with in terms that were physical. Because that was the only thing they could understand. They were not spiritually oriented. But a few people, they really connected with the Holy Spirit. They weren't perfect, but they connected with the Holy Spirit, the prophets, because they were there seeking, or at least some of them. Okay, and somebody like David and so on, you know, they weren't perfect. It was pretty messed up, okay, from our standard point of view, but he didn't have the information we have today. But he was able to open up to the Spirit of God and receive, because God always, even before, was trying to connect with everybody. Only that, you know, to be able to, for that to happen, there had to be an opening of the heart to God speaking. And that is what happens when we are born again. Or it should happen when we are born again, if we really are taught and understand what is involved. Okay. See, dying to self and living in Christ are one and one thing. So completely connected that one cannot work without the other. Okay. Living in Christ is not something we can claim. It's something that we are. Praise God. So, I wanted to explain something to actually what the Holy Spirit wants to do, but I can't do that until I put out some stronger foundations. Okay, in certain area. So, he stopped me. He said, no, you had to go on and explain, go back from the beginning. And what go back from the beginning is, you know, going back to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. John chapter 3. Try to grasp that and the implications of that. Okay. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story. You know the story, so I don't need to do that. I'm going to take only some scripture out to point some things. Explain, okay, that Nicodemus was a religious leader. That means he was trained. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was somebody that was looked up in terms of understanding God. And when Jesus talked to him, he understood nothing. His intentions were good, but his training was the problem. Okay, that doesn't mean, you know, later the story goes on. It's not in the Bible that he actually followed up and everything else. So he broke through. Okay, but he needed to understand some things that Jesus was directly speaking to him about. And so he just started saying, most assuredly, I say to you, when said most assuredly, that means, you know, this is the truth. It's not just a way of saying something that he says, you know, that's it. You had to believe that, okay? Says, I say to you, unless you are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. That means, you know, that unless something happened that makes us born again, okay, our ability to see the kingdom of God is not there. We are blind. We are blinded by the ideas, the thinking that is wrong thinking. Because we end up seeing what is logical with the things we try to line up things with what we believe. Okay? The word born again really is used there in that scripture, but it's really in the Greek is anothem, which actually doesn't quite mean born again. This is an extrapolation. In other places, like in Peter, says born again, but here it wasn't saying born again, says born from high. That means born from God, spiritually born. That's what it means. Okay? So here it says, you know, born from above or from God. Okay? You cannot see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Is the way God works, is the way the spiritual dimension interact with the physical dimension, is the way God rules the world. The world. Are you following me? Okay. So we cannot, and that's why in the Old Testament everything was physical, because they couldn't understand the spiritual dimension. We, Jesus came to actually open up and making us born again so that we can see the spiritual things properly, not covered up by religion. Praise the Lord. And later on, in verse 5, Jesus said, you know, most assuredly again, you know, reinforcing the thing, I say to you, unless one is born again in water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here is even more specific. Okay, we don't only have to be able to see, but we have to be able to get in, to be able to connect. Okay, and this is, you know, really the born of water and the Spirit. You know, I had discussion with people that are so religious, are still like the Jews, you know, talking about don't understand Scripture. Here he's not talking about something physical, he's not talking about baptism. Water baptism, what he's talking about is the fact that this the water is the Word. Because in Peter, you know, in Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, 23 says, having been born again. Here, and here is born again, really, is translated literally. Okay? Born again. Okay? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. We continue here. Through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So that is what the Word is, which lives and abides forever. So here, you know, he's telling to us, this is the way we are born, by the Word of God, by allowing, by receiving the Word, and the Word has the power in it to produce a spiritual event. And what is the spiritual event? Let's read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful. That aligns with what Peter said, okay? And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and the division of the soul and spirit. And of joint and marrow, that's okay. Is the discernment of the thought and intent of the heart. So this is what they open up our eyes. When we can receive the Word, and it's the power, as the power in it is the only source by which we can see the difference, but the soul and the spirit. The soul is the way we are, our thoughts, our emotions, our feeling, and the other one is the spirit, which actually is what God says, is what the spiritual dimension is all about. That's the difference that we have between ourselves and the animals. Animals don't have a moral aspect in them. They can be very smart, sometimes smarter than people. But they don't have the ability to discern good and bad. They don't have the ability to have really the proper judgment about things. They do it by instinct. And this is what God created in us. We have something in addition to what they have. We have also a spirit, the Spirit of God, that He put, the life of God put inside us, that has to be released and to be able to reach our soul. Praise the Lord. So, that's the way we are going to separate things. Not just by our reasoning, just by our physical, the thing we learn and the thing, but we have to, you know, it's the Word of God that is going to enable us to make that distinction. What are the motives? You know, we are not really good about realizing why we do certain things, because this, the heart of man is like deep water. That's what the Word says in the Old Testament. But we should be able to recognize that by the Word. The Word is what is going to enable us to see what's going on in our heart. And is going to be able to impact and change what is in our heart. If our heart is open, if we have ear to hear and eyes to see. And that's why Jesus said, repeated in Revelation, who has ear to hear, let him hear. Okay. That was at the end when he was gone already. But how many really were able to hear? And he was there, but who is able to see to him, he would be an overcomer. You had to hear to be able to overcome. Praise the Lord. Okay. And one of the basic things that happens when we hear the word, it produces a specific effect. That if that effect is not there, then you have not heard the word. And I read it to you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. It's applied to a specific situation, but explains very well. Okay. That he may sanctify and cleanse us, this error there, but it's us, with the washing of the water of the word. You see, the word that we hear should always cleanse and sanctify us, which means, clean up the wrong and clean up the things that, and not only that, but make us closer to God, separated from the world. Okay. God is holy. That is one of the, is separated from the world. That doesn't mean it's separated. It's separated from the worldly things. Okay, it's not separated at all. He's so mixed up with the world. He cares so much that he intervenes in the world to make things happen his way. So he's not separated in the sense. He's separated from the evil in the world. Okay, so this is a very simple understanding that the word of God, when it's properly understood, always will never justify us from sinning. Never. When we find this word, the excuse in the word to do the things that we are doing that are not according to God, we are misinterpreting what he's saying. And that happens, unfortunately. Justifying what we are doing, okay? Because God hates sin. This is repeated over and over and over in the Bible. And he is holy. That means he's separated from it. And what he wants to do in us, he wants to make us grow that way. Hallelujah. Okay? The word will always point up the finger and condemn sin. Never justify it. Because God cannot justify it. Okay? Starting from there, that should help us a lot in understanding what God is saying. Because sometimes we don't like that. Okay? Let me continue. John, again, Peter's still talking with, Nicodemus there. In verse 6, give us a principle. They should guide us very clearly, but often is too abstract to be applied. And the principle is 3:6. John says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, this is a very general statement, but that's enormous implication. Practical implication. Okay. You cannot have any spiritual direction or power or effect by physical things. Physical things are physical, and they stay in the physical because there is not any spiritual thing in it. That's what it's saying. The spiritual power is the only one that can have spiritual results. That's why the only way that you are going to understand, connect, do anything that is spiritual is not by the things we do physically, but by the things we do spiritually. With our spirit, with our the depth of our heart. People think that by doing things like fasting and everything else, they go, no, you are controlling your has nothing to do with spiritual. Old Testament, maybe. But you don't get spiritual power by fasting. Because it's a physical thing. It's what you do at imposing yourself and controlling your desire and your things. That's what produces the result. It's not the physical thing. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. So the spirit, you know, is what you really do. You know, you can be fasting for the wrong thing, and instead of doing a good thing, you do actually the wrong reward, worse, making yourself in a worse place. Because after you feel, oh, I'm just more powerful. Like people say that because I've been fasting and think that they, you know, they get proud about it. Forget it. That shows that we're off. And they even preach about that. Now, you see, when to judge spiritual thing, you cannot base yourself on physical things. It's the word that should guide you in determining that. Physical things cannot have spiritual power, are the result of spiritual things sometimes. What you do in the spirit affects your physical life. Okay? You can be all excited and you think that's the Holy Spirit. And you said it's the flesh because you got what you wanted. So physical and emotional manifestations are not the sign of spiritual transformation. Okay, that you can use. You cannot use physical evidences. Oh, you see, this guy is really blessed because he's doing well. Means nothing to God. According to that principle, you know, Peter and Paul were a failure. And we pretty well should know that that's not the case. Why can we often think that way? But one thing always, spiritual transformation produces, is one thing all the time, as I said before, is holiness, separation from the world. How many preach about holiness today? What they preach is, if you are seeking for holiness, you are religious. That's what they preach. That's nonsense. That's anti-Christian. God is holy. What he wants to do is to make us holy, like him, to align ourselves up with him. The love of the world is not of the Father. Are you following me? But that's what is preached today. Now, I don't preach to please people. I preach what the word of God says. Even if, you know, Jesus at the end, what did he say? You also leave me? He had just his disciple there. Why? Because people didn't like to hear what he was talking about. He was doing things that was turning them off. That was making them mad. Because they were religious. Because they were being trained in thinking the wrong way. Do you think that anything is different today? No. I could go tell so many other things, but I won't. I'll save you from that. Okay. The thing is, you know, that means that our thought, our emotions, our will, are going, as we, the Holy the Spirit works on us, are going to be affected so that we start thinking and our emotions are guided and our will is determined what we want, is determined by what God wants, not what we, the flesh, wants. And you know, there is somebody doesn't like that. Our flesh doesn't like that. See, that's what all the renewal of the mind is all about, dealing with our flesh, not just with our mind, and accepting the things that God sees, not the things that we want to hear. Okay. And then goes on, you know, in John 3:7, the following verse, do not marvel that I say you must be born again. You see, it doesn't say, you know, you should be born again. No, you must be born again. You must, you know, be born from on eyes. Your way of thinking cannot be the way of thinking of the earth, but has to be lining up with God. And we had to make a step there, a step of faith. Because we, had, you know, when we do it at the beginning, we don't know anything. We just got some message from somebody that make us something that sometimes is just religious. But we are not on the plane to judge that because we are not, we don't have the information. We don't have the knowledge to be able to make that judgment. So we make a step of faith, okay, mostly because of the emotion that we got, if we got something that we heard that we wanted. The reality is that sometimes we got wrong expectations. And so later on, when we don't get our expectation met, we are not too happy about it. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we must be born again means, you know, that is in some area we have to be completely aligned, okay, with God's way of doing, thinking, and feeling, and desire, you know, especially the will and the desire, okay? And this is not an optional thing. This is a compulsory thing. It's not a question of trying out. This is a commitment we make right there. And this is why, you know, and then goes on explaining the following verses. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What he's saying here, that you can know, you see, what happens with the wind? This is using a parallel here. You know, he's talking, trying to talk somebody that cannot see spiritual thing. So he's trying to communicate something in the physical, like would do somebody with the Old Testament, because that's what he was for, you know, Nicodemus. So, you know, he's using a physical parallel for him to try to ask. And didn't wasn't enough. He didn't get it. Okay? He said, what he's saying is, you know, you cannot see the wind. Okay? You only can see the physical result. And you go by that. Okay? But you have to be able to see that. You know, you cannot see the spirit in the parallel of that, but you see the spiritual result. That's what he was saying. That you cannot see what's going on, but you can see only the impact of what is going on. And the impact, what's going on, is not the physical that is important because it comes a lot of other things, but all is the what spiritually the word says that should happen. That means, you know, that if that, you know, that if that happened, okay, you should see spiritual results. And spiritual result is the aligning up with God's thinking, God's scriptures, God's will, and God's feelings. That's the way it is. And one of the impact of God's feelings and emotions that he hates sin. So if you are really, you know, having going through that things, you have to hate sin just as God. And if you don't, there are things that need to be resolved yet. Are you following what I'm saying? This is just completely logical what I'm talking about. You're born again. You should be able to know what I'm talking about because you should have seen already some spiritual stuff happen. Okay. But how many really understand that this is what Jesus is saying? It's another story. Okay. So, that's why when Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, okay, that we, if you are born of God, this shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. He's saying there, he said to them, if anyone desire to come after me, that is a spiritual desire, what has to do? Let him deny himself. I mean, his wishes, his desires, his ideas, what he wants, you know, and take up his cross and follow me. Now, you know, people don't preach about that because people don't like to hear, because the flesh doesn't like that. But that is the only thing that has to happen if you are born again. You have to say, okay, you know, this sounds ouch, but I take it. That's the only way. You see, that it is not an optional thing. This is the real thing. And so we had to not go around trying to cover it up, but we should introduce, when you introduce people at the beginning, that's what you had to say. Otherwise, they're going to have their idea that is slanted, that is distorted, and they're going to apply the same principle to everything that they read. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see the implication of what I'm trying to explain here? Okay? See, when you made a decision when you were born again, you had no idea, not a clue about really what was involved. They say, oh, you know, you get saved, everything is rosy after. No, probably it's much worse because now you have many more problems you have to deal with that before weren't even problems. Are you, you know what I'm saying? You know, that doesn't mean that they are problem. The flesh, are problem to the flesh, are not to the heart that is born again. Okay. You know, deny the flesh means deny the lust of the flesh. They do not agree. They are not coming along with, you know, they are conformed with the world because that's what we are used to. That's the normal thing. That's not surprising, okay? That's what we have been trained from the beginning when we are a child. You see, that's why, you know, a child is born with a worldly idea. It can be cute, but that's it. You take your toys and you see how cute he is. Well, we do the same with God. I mean, leave my toy alone. Toys alone. Well, that's not the way that we allow the transformation, not conformation of our heart according to God's way. Praise the Lord. And this is why, you know, God is smart. Can we agree on that? Okay, God knows everything. In the middle of us, so you know, he's not going to do things in a silly, stupid way like we do. You know, if he plans in a certain way, if there is a purpose, and the purpose is to produce result, is to get result. Okay? And so, what did he do? He provided us something that wasn't available to everybody after, but is going to be available to you after you have made that initial decision in which you connect with God. And that special thing is the Holy Spirit, is His Spirit. Okay? Now you got the helper right inside your house or your build, your body. Okay? He's there to help you and to show you things, but you have to be open. And He's going to guide you and interfere with everything you do. I mean, He's trying to guide you into all truth. And so I'm going to expand on this Holy Spirit that is such a wonderful thing that has been distorted, even that. significantly and damaged by this, all these religious ideas of people that are preaching about it. His job is to guide you into all truth. That is his major job. You and everybody else. By interfering with getting through your skull, brain. Okay? Communicating with you in your thoughts. Enabling you to see things that otherwise you cannot see. Giving you revelation if your heart is open. If your heart is open. Because otherwise, you cut them off. But he is here to bless us beyond all any imagination that we have. See, this message is not sad message, it's not hard message. This is an exciting thing because we can see how much help is available to us and how much good he wants to do with us. But we have to trust him. This is why, you know, Proverbs 5:3-10 says, you know, trust your heart with all your heart, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. You know, your way acknowledge him, and he will do guide your heart. But if you don't trust him, you're going to block him out. That's what the old people in the Old Testament did. And so, you know, Jesus came to show us and help us to break through the barrier, the veil between us and God. And the veil was torn as a symbol that now we have access to the Holy of Holies. That God is here able to minister to us and to give us the thing, the help, the information, the direction, the power, the ability to do the things that otherwise we ourselves cannot do because we cannot do the things that are required to do. But God is calling us to do, providing us the power to do it. The dynamis, the spiritual power to do. It doesn't come by the power of our flesh, of our thinking, of our thing, but by the power of the word implanted in us. That thus the power is living and powerful, effective to separate spirit and soul. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, this is the most exciting message that one can get. Because this is what releases the power of God inside us. We should expect supernatural things to happen to us all the time. The only time when those things don't happen is because we are missing it. Because God is there desiring, wanting to do it so badly that he sent his son to die for it. That should tell the story. Okay? It's not just another thing, you know, it's just an extra thing that we adapt to our religious activities. It's nothing to do with religion at all. It has to do with God's power actually intervening and interfering with our life and helping us to make the right decision, to take the right step, to break through the bondages that we have, to enable us to see things that otherwise we cannot see. You cannot see. The mind is going to be blocked to be able to see spiritual reality because that's what Jesus said. To be able to see, there has to be that opening. Was ear to hear and eyes to see. Because the heart is not open. And we then will be able to. Praise the Lord. I can continue for ages here. But I think this is a good place to stop. Because we are going to start to be more specific next Sunday. And see how the working of the Holy Spirit is going to work in specific way, in guiding us. And we can start to recognize it because, you know, often actually, you know, where the flesh is, the Holy Spirit is distorted. That's what happened the church of Corinth. The focus was in completely in the wrong place, and people weren't getting anything because they were got anything. Instead of focusing on the wrong thing, they wouldn't have made the mistake they were making. Okay, so what we are trying to do is to really see, let God do the things he wants to do, not the things he want him to do, so that we feel important. Because the way the natural man is, wants to feel important. And that's a way to get in trouble. Okay. So where I'm going to stop here. I'm going to read one more scripture. Okay. Two verses. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I like to go for another hour. But, you know, I'm not going to expect that, okay? I'm fair with that. So, John 16, 12 says, "Still I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Okay, and this is true for us in many different areas, no matter where we are at. Okay, there is so much to learn from God. That there is always something new that he wants to talk to us. You know, we say, I'm enough of change. No, God is alive. And life is change. If we want to stop changing, we are dead. Because that's what happened. Okay, so he wants to keep changing with us, okay? And we want us to be open. So he's going to talk to us all the time. He talks to us today about what he wants us today. When we finally do it, he's going to tell us something else. He said, "Give me a moment." No, you know, listen, because he knows exactly the sequence to give you. It's not the law. It's just following what he's doing in your life. Excuse me. So, he says, however, the Spirit of truth, that was the helper, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So this is really what he's going to do. He's going to show you, he's not talking about giving you prophetic statement about what's going on in the world. He's going to talk to you about the things that should happen in your life that you want to implement there. And he's going to guide you in those steps. You know, people want to be important and so on. They don't want to be prophetical. No, God, before you can be prophetical, you better learn to hear the word of God, you know, dealing with your situation, because otherwise you cannot even hear what you want to do with you. How are you going to hear what you want to do with others? So, that's the pride of man coming into the picture and blocking everything, okay? And distorting the scriptures. Oh, that's talking about. No, he's talking exactly about what is too much for you to bear today. And he's going to bring that inside your brain until you get it, or you get stuck and you are not going to get anywhere, because he just knows the things that you have to do now, that you are ready to do, that you should be ready to do, because he would empower you if you do it. Okay. And he will glorify me and will take what is mine and declare it to you. He's not going to give you new things. He's not going to speak new authority. He's going to be giving things that, you know, Jesus taught, and he's going to be showing you exactly how to apply it to your life and how to get the result. Hallelujah. So we stop here, and we're going to pray. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something. And you can see the potential that if we open up to what he wants to do, is much more than we can ever imagine. Okay? It's everything he wants to do that is a wonderful plan. He knows everything. God knows everything. Praise the Lord. That's why we can trust him more than we can trust ourselves. says, lean not on your own understanding. Praise the Lord. So, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. For loving us and wanting to minister to us with your truth, to set us free from all the limitations and the bondages of the world under which we are. We thank you that Jesus made it possible to be free, to be able to be please you, to follow your direction, and to discover the truth. Thank you for your power that you make available to us to grow, to be the people that you want us to be. And we give you praise and honor and glory for everything you have done. And we say, yes, Lord, guide me, strengthen me, help me, let me able to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.